Kleinman. He's a former interrogator who's been lobbying for the statutory ban on torture. Kleinman says just because the Army Field Manual's interrogation techniques are known does not mean they're not effective.
People can understand the psychology behind advertising and still go out and buy things that they really didn't intend to.
Kleinman and other veteran interrogators say the only way to prevent torture is to ban it for good. David Wellen, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NAS reported its latest crop progress for the week ending June the 14th. The numbers look like this. Corn conditions, good to excellent, 73%, that's down 1 percentage point from a week ago. Fair, 22%, poor, 4%, and very poor, 1%. Soybeans planted, 87% versus 79% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 90%. States most behind in planting are Kansas and Missouri. Soybeans emerged 75% versus 64% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 77%. Soybean conditions, good to excellent, 67%. That is down 2 percentage points from a week ago. Fair, 27%, poor, 5%, and very poor, 1%. This morning, private exporters reported at USDA export sales of 100,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the current 2014-15 marketing year. The Obama administration is cracking down on artificial trans fats, calling them a threat to public health. The Food and Drug Administration today says that it will require food companies to phase trans fats of the artificial variety out almost entirely within the next 3 years. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 17,774. It's up 62 points. The NASDAQ, 4,435, up almost 8. And the S&P 500, 2,081, up 5.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. I think we can probably stick together all across the Midwest today. It's very humid in the southern two-thirds of the region. The humidity is high enough that makes it feel pretty uncomfortable. Temperatures out there at the current hour are running from the upper 60s through the lower 70s across most of the region. A lot of cloud cover out there as well. And there's a few showers and a couple of thunderstorms already on the radar charts from parts of Missouri into parts of Illinois. It's just the beginning. We do have a tropical storm Bill out there that's moving across the Gulf Coast of central Texas today, and that may not be of great interest to you right this moment, but come a few days from now, it will be a totally different story as most of the Midwest endures some more heavy rainfall that comes up from this particular storm system. It is expected to carry in another period of 2 days worth of rain for the lower half of the Midwest, and substantial amounts of rains will fall. Unfortunately, it rains before the storm system arrives, and so the ground will already be saturated when it does get here. We do expect showers and thunderstorms today from parts of Missouri into Indiana. The majority of this precipitation is going to be focused on that area, and we'll look for rain totals running primarily in the range of around 0.3 inch to 0.9 inch. There'll be some localized amounts getting up over an inch in a couple of locations. Tomorrow, the remnants of Tropical Storm Bill will be mostly centered on Oklahoma. We'll see some random to scattered showers across the lower Midwest at that point in time. Another 0.1 to 0.5 inch, local 0.75 inch of rain will scatter about in random fashion across parts of Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois. Even parts of Kentucky may get a little bit of rain from that event. But then Oklahoma's tropical system will work its way across Missouri into the southern portions of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio as we get out in the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday time period, and we'll add another 1 to 3 inches of rainfall with some local totals perhaps getting over 4 inches. And that on top of the previous rain and saturated soil will lead us into some local flooding. And the problem with crops in low-lying areas standing in water will become a bigger issue. Of course, we're concerned also about the soft wheat condition. With all this moisture around, it's not going to be good for the quality of that crop, and there will be some concern not only there but also still in hard red winter wheat country where the crops there are still dealing with a lot of quality problems from all the heavier rains of recent days. Once the remnants of that bill move through the region Friday into Saturday, we will finally start to see some improving conditions across the lower Midwest. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be completely dry, but we should go several days without any real serious amount of rainfall and a chance to really firm up the ground and get the floodwaters to recede, and perhaps life can get back to a little bit more normal. We'll expect, though, the temperatures to stay warm until the tropical system passes through, and then they will cool off a bit. We're looking for high temperatures across the majority of the region here today to run mostly in the 70s and 80s. There will be some temperatures near 90 degrees south of the Ohio River. And high temperatures tomorrow afternoon will probably be somewhat similar, in fact, for that matter, even into Thursday. We will see a cool air mass come southward from Canada shortly thereafter. That will likely lower temperatures just another few degrees. And then next week, we'll see a lot warmer conditions, especially in the western and southern parts of the Midwest. Temperatures getting back over 90 degrees will be possible, but it'll be very, very humid at that point in time. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 5.10 and 3 quarters, now a quarter, up 1.5. September 5.19, up 3 quarters. Soft July wheat, 4.90 and a half, up 1.25. September, 4.96, up 3 quarters. July corn, 3.48 and a half, up a quarter. September, 3.53, up a quarter. December, 3.63 and a half, unchanged. Go out to July of 16 at 3.89 and a half, up a half. July soybeans, 9.39 and a half, up 1.75. September, 9.13 and a quarter, up 5.5, now 5.25. November, 9.10 and a half, up 6.25. July soybean meal, 3.12.40, down 80. July soybean oil, 32.93, up 24. June live cattle, 152.67 and a half, up 50. August feeders, 224.60, up 70. And July lean hogs are 77.67 and a half, and they're up 47 and one half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, after a couple of days of downward movement in the markets that really started last week and accelerated into Friday, a little bit more yesterday, the market seems to be catching today.
Yeah, we made new lows in corn and beans the last 2 or 3 days each day. Beans today are up 2 to 5 and have caught. A lot of it's worried about how much moisture do we need before it hurts things in both corn and beans, and I think that's being thought about. Corn today was up 3 at one time. We're back to unchanged. Down a quarter, up a quarter, so I don't know if that's going to hold, but new crop beans are up 7, and that's just the way we are.
I'm not quite sure to what degree it's on traders' radar, because they're in that rain make grain mode, but we've had a lot of rain, and I'm beginning to wonder if the rain is more harmful than beneficial at this point.
I don't know how much either. You mean, it's hard in June if things look good to make it go up, but you know, how much nitrogen are we losing? What are those yellow fields going to look like when they dry out? Will we be able to do anything with them? And I think that's creeping into people's minds about, instead of rain makes grain, rain might hurt yields.
And at this point, unless you have the right equipment, side dressing nitrogen is now not a possibility.
No.
So I guess the other thing to kind of discuss a little bit this morning would be, we're very rapidly coming up on a couple of end-of-the-month reports. What are your early thoughts on those?
Well, what are the acres going to be? If they lower acres due to the wet spring, that could make things bounce some, and maybe the attitude will be, well, the rain has hurt what crop we have, and we don't have as many acres, so we aren't going to have 14 billion of corn or X billion of beans, and that could take effect here on that end-of-the-month report.
So that is a potential bullish item. What about on the quarterly grain stock report?
There, I think you're looking more at how much are we really using, how much more do we need. I think one of the big things that's unknown is what is the usage now with all the different things around the world that don't need as much as maybe they used to. And I think that'll be the big one on the quarterly stocks is, what do they say we have left?
All right. Thanks much, Pete.
Have a good one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. July corn trading, 349 up three quarters. September, 353 and a half up three quarters. December, 364 up a half. July beans are 941 and a quarter up three and a half. September, 914 up six and a quarter. November, 911 and a quarter up seven. July soybean meal, 312.30 down 90. July soybean oil, 32.95 up 26. June live cattle are 152.87 and a half up 70. August feeders, 224.70 up 80. And July lean hogs, 77.52 and a half up 32 and a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WIOL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.